All right, Acts chapter 19 here this morning, Acts chapter 19. I was planning on doing this Wednesday evening, but I want to, this is something I came across and was kind of doing some reading and study on. I've done a little of this off and on over the years, but is Halloween a harmless holiday? And I'm sorry if you already have your Halloween costumes and your Halloween candy and all that kind of stuff. I'm gonna spoil it here today, but to show you how much we have moved in relation to, this is just kind of an illustration of this as I was doing some reading on this. Moody Monthly in 1975 had an article that was entitled, "We Should Unmask Halloween," and exposing what it's what it really is all about. And in 1993, they had an article, 18 years later, they had an article entitled, "Getting a Handle on Halloween that justified Halloween activities." So in the matter of 18 years, as far as even Moody Monthly, that's a major change. As I was reflecting on some of this, as I was doing some reading in relation to the history of Halloween and all that, growing up in our younger years, I remember when we lived on the farm, my parents would take us, you know, to you know, neighboring farms. This was before, you know, they were seriously into church and all that, but we would go visit the neighbor farms, you know, trick or treating and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things I remember, for the most part, is my younger teen years in the Des Moines area. They would have area churches that would all get together. Sometimes it was Word of Life. Sometimes it was just the area churches. But they would have youth activities. And around Halloween, they would have a haunted forest. And I think, if I remember, I was just somewhere close to where our church was. But in this haunted forest, I remember people, you know, men chasing kids through there with a chainsaw, and you know, people buried partially underground, and laughing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, at the time, you know, it seemed like fun, but you think about this in relation to some of this. Now we have churches that have trunk or treat, you know, and all the kids get to dress up, you know, as far as Bible characters and that kind of stuff. But the problem is we're still observing a pagan holiday. What I've come to the conclusion as I've studied this out is we are no different than the Catholic Church in regard to whitewashing pagan holidays. Notice with me Acts chapter 19, verse 13 and following. Somehow I do not see the Apostle Paul having an observance of All Hallows Eve in order to have an outreach. Well, we saw 20 people saved. I want you to think, where in the Bible do we find that they used pagan observances to win people to Christ? Notice verse 13, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth." Notice that statement. "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth." They didn't even know Jesus. They were not believers. "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." I want to remind you, when there's evil spirits within a person, they sometimes have extra strength. You think about the fact in Mark 5 that that guy was able to break chains asunder. "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." Notice this. "This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus." And notice, "fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." There's the key. We're not talking about magnifying some fear, and we're going to scare people into salvation. "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men.
And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You notice here again what they did when they believed. They burned all ties to this. They did not. Well, maybe we need to use this to win others to Christ. I want you to consider they burned all ties to this wickedness. As far as the history of Halloween, it's actually All Hallows Eve, Halloween. But I want you to think about this. Hallowed, remember Matthew 6, it talks about our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're talking about a religious observance, and hallow actually speaks of a holy day or a holiday. You think about the words, the phrase holiday, it actually comes from a word, holy day. This is a religious observance. All Hallows Eve was the evening before All Saints Day. It celebrated the last night of October, of course, October 31st. The old Celtic calendar began on November 1st. The last evening of the year was the Night of the Witches. The Catholic Church adopted that night as the Eve of All Saints. It's a move from a May observance. And basically, this All Saints Day is a day for honoring all saints who did not have a day of their own in their honor. I want you to notice with me Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Nowhere in the Bible do we find that we are to use the paganism of our world to try to win people to Christ, or pagan observances. Notice with me Deuteronomy 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places. Notice this. Utterly destroy it all. Wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. So for our youth activity, we're going to use the paganism, and we're not just observing it with trunk or treat. Literally, when I was a young teenager, they had a haunted forest. You know, you think about churches that will do haunted houses and all those kinds of things. You know, the theory is we're going to scare people into believing in Christ. Scare people out of hell. Think about that. What are we saying in that? When we use pagan holidays and pagan observances to preach the gospel, you don't find that in the Bible. Drop down to verse 29 then. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. It's almost like in our modern day, we had these Halloween observances, and you think about decorations now. There are people around town that they decorate as much as they do for Christmas. I mean, you walk past the yard and you have people, some creature laughing at you or whatever, hideous laugh. It's almost like we're going to take what we enjoyed as an unbeliever, and we're going to bring it into an enjoyment as a believer in Christ. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. Even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Hang on to that statement. We're going to come back to that here in a moment. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. Also chapter 32, Deuteronomy 32, verses 15 through 17. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Notice again, the statement is very clear. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10, I believe it is, talks about this in the New Testament. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. Paul emphasizes that in the pagan temples of Corinth, you know, they were sacrificing the devils. They were not sacrificing to God. And you think about, they're sacrificing to their gods. No, in reality, they're sacrificing to devils. And as you think about in fact, I want you to notice this again. This is a familiar one, but notice Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. I want to mention this here, have us look at this, because it'll play into something that I be mentioning here in a moment. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not." Notice again it says in verse 2, "Learn not the way of the heathen." Hang on to this statement. Remember that here in a moment. As far as Halloween celebrations, Halloween celebrations were practiced by the Druids. This was a Celtic, sorcerers. And in fact, Revelation 9 and other places in Revelation talks about sorcerers not being allowed into New Jerusalem. As far as the history of this, November 1st, was their New Year's Day, and they had a feast to Samhain. It's actually spelled Samhain, but they pronounced it Samhain. Samhain was the Lord of the Dead, and all of the things that we think of as far as Halloween, they practiced. First of all, as far as jack-o'-lanterns, you know, common thing as far as Halloween, jack-o'-lanterns are not a harmless decoration. In fact, what I read on that is that Jack was this, there's a legend regarding Jack, who supposedly had a run-in with the devil, and when he died, he was not allowed into heaven, and he was also not allowed into hell because of his agreement that he made with the devil. So literally, Jack was one who wandered about from year to year with nowhere to go. Excuse me. And so these jack-o'-lanterns were used to scare away evil spirits based on this legend. Also, something else that's common, and I remember a lot of times with youth activities, we would have large bonfires. And I've often wondered why we call them bonfires. Well, as I've done some study on this here, now I know why. They actually were originally called bone fires. Bone fires, in other words, because of their human sacrifices, all that was left of the fires were the bones afterwards. So we're going to use something like that for a youth activity. Other practices like trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating is not a harmless, fun little thing to do. Druids gathered offerings to Samhain on October 31st. They would literally go from house to house looking for gifts for their false god, Samhain. And they would have a reenactment of Druid practices to appease evil spirits. And in the midst of all of this, Irish farmers would go from house to house begging for treats for their pagan gods. That's the history of trick-or-treating. That is not a harmless activity. I want you to think about the reality of this. Black cats are reincarnated evil souls, according to all this. And I didn't realize this, but even bobbing for apples Even bobbing for apples is a part of all of this. I did not realize that until I was doing some reading on this. But all of these things are practices from the occult. I want to mention some things here. Of course, when you think about Halloween without the, you know, the whitewashing of Christianity, you know, who are the heroes of Halloween? Witches, vampires. I was reminded of this. I had forgotten, but Count Dracula was a real man, a real person. He was a maniac madman who massacred 100,000 men in a 6-year rule. And this is based on a book, Dracula, biography of Vlad the Impaler, who lived from 1431 to 1477, ruled from 1431 to 1476. Actually, he lived that long. He lived a shorter life, but in a 6-year rule, he killed 100,000 people in brutal ways. Let me ask you, so we're going to dress up like a Dracula based on the history of that? See, people are ignorant of all this. Early Slavic people believed vampires were living corpses searching for blood. So we're going to bring that into, you know, Christianity and all that. Werewolves, of course, is a man wolf. It's very interesting. You do a study of that. Some believe that this is a satanic counterfeit of Daniel 4. Remember where Nebuchadnezzar's heart was turned to a beast. It's a condition called lycanthropy. And you think about, even in the Native American cultures, shamans and medicine men, Native American cultures will identify with an animal. That's the same type of thing. It's paganism in that culture as well. Ghosts and mummies and all of these things. And that's what you commonly think of as far as Halloween. When you think about all of the characters of Halloween, most of them relate to death and the occult. Halloween sacrifices are known facts, even yet today. They use cremation ovens and deeply dug graves on privately owned land in order to cover up their sacrifices. When we lived in South Texas, 25 miles from the Mexico border, we came in contact. In fact, my wife had, in particular, had dealings with some of the girls. And there was a young woman, I don't remember how old she was, that some of the teen girls got involved with. My wife ended up visiting with the girls in the church down there. And they thought this was some harmless thing. You know, they were deceived into you know, becoming a part of this. Well, all of a sudden, they were invited to go to the cemetery and do some things. And you think about that. How easily some, and all of a sudden they're thinking, oh no, we're trapped in this, because she threatened them if she told, or if either one of them told, she threatened them with a spell on them and all that kind of stuff. And but you think about decorations in yards, tombstones, graves, partially buried bodies, skeletons, jack-o'-lanterns, black cats, and bloody bodies. We want to associate with a holiday like this. Also, it's very interesting, around Halloween, November 2nd of this year is the Mexico holiday, the Day of the Dead. I was visiting with Geysers a little bit about this, the Day of the Dead. They have altars, and they put the altar up in the cemetery, or you said in their homes, and they bake the bread of the dead. And I found out this morning that the bread actually was a way to... They bake the heart in the bread, let's put it that way. Literally, that's the stuff that went on with the Day of the Dead. But they have altars, and they prepare the favorite meal of the deceased. And as I was doing some reading on this, they believe during this Day of the Dead time is when they the barrier between the living and the dead is diminished, and so you can have some contact with the dead. That's what Halloween is all about. Why would we want to Christianize it? Why would we want to Christianize, whitewash it, and all of these things? I want you to notice 2 Corinthians chapter 11. (Clears throat) 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Satan is a mastermind, master deceiver, and he is able to make something pagan and not good for a person and make it appear like it's harmless fun. Notice it says in verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You know, we even have, and thinking about in relation to this, we even have the term white witch. You know, a good witch. There is no good witch. Satan is a master deceiver. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the passage I was thinking about earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19. "What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered and sacrificed to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." I came across some quotes. And first of all, I want to give you some dictionary definitions of Halloween. And what I think is significant is most of these definitions come from older encyclopedias and dictionaries, because the emphasis has changed in some cases. But Oxford English Dictionary, "Halloween, the eve of All Hallows or All Saints Day, celebrated the last night of October. In the old Celtic calendar, the year began on November 1st, so that the last evening of October was Old Year's Night, the night of all the witches, which the church transformed into the Eve of All Saints." Also, Encyclopedia Britannica, 14th edition, says, "Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, the name given to October 31st as the vigil, Hallowmass," did you hear what I just said? "Hallowmass, or All Saints' Day, now chiefly known as the Eve of the Christian Festival. It long antedates Christianity," so it's something long before Christianity. "The two chief characteristics of ancient Halloween were the lighting of bonfires and the belief that this is the one night in the year during which ghosts and witches are most likely to wander abroad. History shows that the main celebrations of Halloween were purely druidical, the Druids, and this is further proved by the fact that in parts of Ireland, October 31st is still known as Vigil of Samhain. This is directly connected to the druidic belief in the calling together of certain wicked souls on Halloween by Samhain, Lord of Death." World Book Encyclopedia, 1959. "The Druids, an order of priests in ancient Gaul and Britain, believe that on Halloween, ghosts, spirits, fairies," the tooth fairy, "fairies, witches, and elves come out to harm people. They thought the cat was sacred and believed that cats had once been human beings but were changed as a punishment for evil deeds. From these druidic beliefs come the present-day use of witches, ghosts, and cats in Halloween festivities." There's a book, "Halloween through 20 Centuries." "The American celebration rests upon Scottish and Irish folk customs, which can be traced in direct line from pre-Christian times. Although Halloween has become a night of rollicking fun, superstitious spells, and eerie games, which people take only half seriously, its beginnings were quite otherwise. The earliest Halloween celebrations were held by the Druids in honor of Samhain, Lord of the Dead, whose festival fell on November 1st. World Book Encyclopedia, again, these are quotes from World Book Encyclopedia from 1959. It was the Celts who chose the date of October 31st as their New Year's Eve, who originally intended it as a celebration of everything wicked, evil, and dead. Also during, this is a World Book Encyclopedia. I don't think World Book does things like this anymore. Also during their celebration, they would gather around a community bonfire and offer as sacrifice their animals, their crops, and sometimes themselves. And wearing costumes, listen to this, here's where the costumes come from. And wearing costumes made from the heads and skins of other animals, they would also tell one another's fortunes for the coming year. This is World Book Encyclopedia. The celebration remained much the same after the Romans conquered the Celts around 43 AD. The Romans did, however, add a ceremony honoring their goddess of fruit and trees, and thus association with apples and the custom of bobbing for them. There's where we have that. Also in the AD 800s, the church established All Saints Day on November 1st so that the people could continue a festival day they had celebrated before becoming Christians. The Mass that was said on this day was called All Hallow Mass. The evening before became known as All Hallow Even or Halloween. It means hallowed or holy evening. Jack-o'-lanterns were named for a man called Jack who could not enter heaven or hell. As a result, he was doomed to wander in darkness with his lantern until Judgment Day. We have the holiday, the roots of Halloween. This is written by Valerie Duffy, who's a former witch. And she called the Feast of Samhain as an unholy Sabbath. They call it a Sabbath or Sabbat. Think about this. Jews have a Sabbath. We have the Lord's Day. They have their holy observances, their holy days, holidays. And she talks about the old Celtic Sabbat. And the Halloween is the main feast of witchcraft. And she says this, on October 31st, black-cloaked druids bearing torches would go door to door to select humans for their New Year's sacrifice to the Lord of the Dead. In return for the child or infant, they would leave a hallowed turnip with candlelight with a candlelight shining through the carved face, a satanic counterfeit for the biblical Passover. This is a former witch who is mentioning this as a believer in Christ. In the reveling that took place on that night to Samhain, the demons supposedly loosed for the night would pass over the homes marked by the carved lantern. Those families had provided the required gift or sacrifice. Other homes could be hit, sometimes with sudden death. The children selected for sacrifice were tossed into a bonfire. The druids called it a bone fire since only the bones were left. From the agonizing screams of the dying, the divining priests would foretell the future of the village. Why would we want to associate ourselves and try to Christianize anything like this? And what is interesting, this is mentioned here also in this article, about the shaman or medicine man in Disney's Pocahontas. This shaman or this medicine man read the future in the smoke of from his ritual fire. Again, in the Native American cultures and all that. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of quotes from witches here to tell us and emphasize the wickedness of this holiday. There's no way we can whitewash it and use it for the Lord's glory. There's a witch named Doreen Valiente. Halloween is one of the four great Sabbats of the witches that everyone has heard about. To witches, Halloween is a serious occasion, however merrily celebrated. It is the old Celtic Eve of Samhain. With the coming of Christianity, the church tried to Christianize the old festival by making November 1st All Saints Day or All Hallows, as the old term was. Thus, Samhain Eve became All Hallows Eve or Halloween. But attempts to discourage the pagan celebrations were so unavailing that the festival was eventually banned from the church calendar. It was not until 1928 that the Church of England formally restored All Hallows to its calendar on the assumption that the old pagan associations of Halloween were at last really dead and forgotten, a supposition that was certainly premature. And here's another quote from a witch, Margot Adler. All the great festivals of paganism, wherever they may be found, correspond in common with the solstices, equinoxes, and other natural annual cycles of life. Most of these remain with us today in more or less disguised form as the so-called Christian holidays. Did you hear what I just said? This is a quote from a witch. The so-called Christian holidays of Christmas, Yule, Easter, Ostara, May Day, Beltane, Thanksgiving, Harvest Home, Halloween, Samhain, and even Groundhog's Day. I didn't know Groundhog's Day was an observance of witchcraft. But again, as you think about that, in fact, let's close again with Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Verse 18 again, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Notice verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I do not believe that God can be honored and will be honored and glorified in Christianizing a pagan holiday and observance. I could say, to follow up with my study on practices of the occult. With Halloween coming up, I came across an article in particular. And in fact, what is interesting, as I was doing, one of the sources is, his name is Pastor David Brown in Wisconsin. I've come across some of his things on the King James Bible over the years, but I didn't realize he had, in the 1980s, wrote a book on Halloween. And he said, you know, as a young pastor and all that, he promoted all of this as an outreach. Well, then he started doing some study on the history of it. And so he wrote a book. And what I thought was very interesting, he said that the most response that he got was from pastors and Christian workers in opposition to his book. You're just making a big deal over nothing. I don't think so. I don't think so. Lord, I pray that you'd help us be discerning in these days. Lord, forgive us for how many times we take pagan holidays and try to Christianize them and bring glory and honor to you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be discerning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.